see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible Study tonight. We're going to talk about the rapture. My name is Thomas Gambill. I am the host of this Bible study tonight, live, 4th of March, 2015. And here we are again, after this afternoon, this grueling afternoon of testimony and more information about how the Illuminati think they have us sewed up. That's what everything's about. That's what it's all about. It's not fashion shows or beauty pageants or TV or solitaire or football games or going golfing at Hilton Head or Outer Banks or whatever. It's none of that. Fulfillment of ourselves, I guess, in the millennial reign and after. But mostly be the worship of God. It's what it's all about today. Everything. No distractions in the coming millennial reign, whenever it happens. You're going to leave this physical world. There's no way around it. Whether it's early, as we in this physical world seem to think was early. Is it really before our time? Do we decide, well, I should get to be 90 years old, and he should have been 90, but he died at 25. He died before his time. Really? Babies that are aborted, is they dying before their time? Maybe God took them for a reason. Is it really before our time when we go? Or is it time that God said, well, I think I'm going to bring them home now for whatever reason? God knows the end from the beginning. He already knows what's going to happen in a person's life. We don't. We don't have a clue. I think it's silly to watch a religious debate. Nobody can debate the Word of God. You know why? Because they're not God. How do you do that? Like taking the computer engineer with an IQ of 160. He's just lazy, real smart, lazy. He hires a bum to do his job interview and brief on his resume while he goes gets a cup of coffee at Starbucks. So he pays some bum about $50 to go to talk to Gates about his job there at Microsoft. So he walks in, says, well, I'm here to brief for John Jones. He's not here. He just paid me to do it. And here's his resume. What questions you got? Same thing, even worse. Try to understand God and try and debate the Word of God is like trying to pour the ocean to a pint cup. By a human being, it can't be done. It is impossible. And yet theologians try to do it against atheists. They always come out of draw. And you see, the atheist, the agnostic, Satanist, whoever is doing debating on the other side, is now able to espouse their heresy on national TV or in the forum or wherever. So all you're doing is just validating what the others believe like him say anyway. It's always a wash. Debates are always a wash. That's why debating is considered to be in the same line, literally, as murder in the Word of God. Literally, it is. As a matter of fact, Romans 1:29 lists the sins that God hates. And it says in Romans 1:29, look it up now if you want to. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers. Oh, there's another, it continues on with, in 128 and 129 and 130, more of the same, of the sins gets worse. Debates in the middle of it there. How come people can't figure that out? Because it's right there, it is. Romans 129 just clear as I'm sitting here. And I'm sitting here, by the way. Sure is. And then you think about it. I see. Because you can't debate the Word of God. Because you don't have the mind of God. None of us do. That's why you preach, expose what you do know to be true. When someone says that Jesus didn't die on the cross, you say, well, what? Well, in the Bible it says he did. And then he was resurrected. You forgot that part now, didn't you? Why? It says right here. You see, you don't come from you. It comes from the Bible. I'm dedicated to broadcasting. Tonight we're going to talk about the rapture. But the rapture is not going to be the defining line. You're not going to come out here with this Bible study that, oh, the rapture is going to be in 2017, all that nonsense. Because nobody knows when. Nobody even knows when the tribulation is going to be. So how do you know when how do you take a position when it's pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, post-trib? You fight for it. You say, I know you pre-tribbers are, you know, and go off on it. Everybody's arguing over something none of them know anything about. You will know when it happens. Oh, yeah. But nobody can tell you when. Then they write books and CDs and DVDs and always go on Sid Roth. It's supernatural. And they never come up with a determination. And when they do it, it's always wrong. Always. Capping is a good example. Lord, we come before you in prayer tonight, Lord. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. We pray twice a day, Father, every time we can. Well, I lift up to you tonight, Father, this Bible study. Guide me, Lord, to do the best I can, Lord, that through you, coming through me, Lord, that like us all, we, Father, listen and follow the word. Lord, because I know I'm not worthy. But Father, use me in your services. Father, we pray for everybody tonight. Lord, we ask you, you give us patience. I ask you, Lord, give me patience. I lack it. Lord, give us all the words that we need to speak to others, to lead them to Jesus. And to, Father, not be contentious, to be understanding, to be patient, long-suffering. Father, it's not easy. But, Father, we depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us and keep us calm. Keep us wise, using wisdom, discernment. Father, we do pray for our families, Holy Spirit, to touch them all. We pray for friends and those coming across us. To give us opportunities to speak out and reach out to others. But, Father, the day the Lord comes, Father, to give us courage to stand up and the words to speak out right. When you put us to work in front of out in the street and in the front, that you'll guide us along. Father, we do pray for those to come out of these organizations and institutions and leadership worldwide places, positions, that they'll too come over and start using their words and influence and speak the truth about Jesus Christ. We see the signs of times increasing. Father, some people don't see this. We ask you, Lord, to have an awakening, to wake people up. Father, we're all in a piece of work, and work of clay in your hands. We ask you, Lord, to mold us in that form as we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know what popped in my head now? Deliver us not into temptation, but deliver us from this evil. Well, that goes along with the scripture. I don't know off the top of my head right now, but that he'll test us. He'll allow Satan to sift us. But he always leaves you a way to escape. And deliver us from evil. He'll leave a way for you to escape if you take it. You just got to want to take it more than you want to do it. Take what? Take the escape out. You know, that's something I thought about too a little while ago. It just dawned on me. Why is it a surprise when we find out that the governments are trying to kill us? Is that such a wild thought? Think about it for a minute. All right, minute's up. That's a New York minute. Listen, what's any different now than it was back in the days of Gladiator? And the Christians fed the lions. They didn't have technology back then. They used lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, to take out the Christians. Did they not? What's any different today? What's different? Why would they quit just at one place of history? Heck, they didn't quit. That's the problem. They've never stopped. What do you think the wars are all about? What do you think nuclear energy is all about? What do you think diseases that's created in laboratories is all about? It's never stopped. It's just evolved. You see? I mean, God's there protecting you every minute, every day. I've exposed, as many have, not just me, but I've exposed the ways they do it. I haven't even talked about the hazards of the workplace. I got a massive paperback book that talks about work is dangerous to your health. It's a handbook of health hazards in the workplace and what you can do about them. This book makes you wonder how come still living. All the things they've thrown upon us. And baby boomers, you're still here. Got to bring you home when it's time. What if you're sitting in a restaurant and you're sitting there by yourself and all of a sudden you see people starting to leave? You see some more people starting to leave and you're like, somebody's coming up and whispering to them. You went, wait a minute, what's going on here? And you're the only one sitting there. Merchant comes in. You say, where's everybody going? Oh, you haven't heard? No. There's a bomb here going to go off. When people start evacuating someplace, you're going to know why. And they're not going. You're going to ask, what's going on? You kind of want to go leave too, you see. But some people never see it happen. They just think, oh, people just leaving because I didn't take a shower this morning or something. I don't know. People start leaving around you. You see signs. Pay attention. But it won't happen that way. When that rapture comes, whatever it does, God always removes his own right before the judgment. Right before the judgment is the first seal. Is the first trumpet. And you won't know it till you study the scripture. It's all there because why? It's going by the book. And you're not going to find no four blood moons or three blood moons in the Bible. It's not there. Because there isn't any. Can they make something happen in three blood moons? Sure, they can make something happen. They can make something happen. By whiz-bang smoke and mirrors, supernatural whiz-bang smoke and mirrors, that's about it. But it's not in the scriptures. And it won't happen unless God allows it to. Well, family, tonight we're going to talk about the rapture. Time moves by. You know, hour doesn't seem too much. But I was looking here for the name of I had it one time. I think I lost it. I lose stuff all the time. The name of the gladiator that was funneling the Christians to the lions. And he saw how the Christians were going in to the Colosseum in the middle and dying, but still always praising their God and singing hymns or singing whatever they saying back then, saying scripture, as they go out to meet their death. But see, death is simply removal because something else is coming. And you're going somewhere else because it's all based on a different dimension, if you will, frequency vibration. I talked about that today, had testimony even today to confirm what I've been saying for years. Everything is a frequency vibration. When you lust, when you hate, you feel different, don't you? Lust is one thing from hate. Why is that? Because it's a different frequency vibration. It's like trying to find a radio station. And each radio station is a different emotion. Well, they've quantified that down to a frequency number. A VLF transmission. Electromagnetic energy. So that means that they have synthesized demonic influence. Because that's what demons are. Demons are like foot soldiers with different jobs. What are the jobs? Different frequencies. A demon of hate has a certain frequency. Hypothetically, let's say one. A demon of homosexuality would have a frequency of two. It's different. Because of their ELF, their electromagnetic energy, has an effect on your energy and increases it to a certain level. This is scientific. It's amazing how they've done this, but under the direction of the supernatural beings. Mankind would never figure this out, but Satan has, and he is teaching man how to set it up just like they did before and after Nimrod. To take out the Christians. What Christians? Not Christianity. They got nothing to do with it. To take out those who follow Jesus Christ. Not Christianity. Got nothing to do with religion. Has to do with following Jesus Christ. Well, an evacuation is coming, and Satan's got to explain it. And he don't know when, because he knows when it happens. Boy, his days are short, short, short. And then short. Short enough. Rapture. Well, that goes into what I said about do people not remember the history? Nothing's changed from the days of the gladiators, killing Christians to now, in subtle ways, in more ways than you can imagine, that we've even talked about this afternoon. Some of you have gotten emails from that you never thought about the ELF transmission, how they can tap into your pacemaker, asbestos, all kinds of stuff you drink and eat. Man, they've thought every way possible. It's the same thing, really, except done in subtle ways. What's the difference? Cancer, HIV, all that was created in the laboratory. Yeah, that's correct. And everybody blames God for it. Your Pat Robinson's, he's a 33rd degree Mason. No wonder he lies. They pretend to be Christians. They're absolutely not. Word faith movement. Copeland, Hagee, prosperity movement. All these movements are infiltrated by the Illuminati using religious type characters. Joyce Myers, Osteen, the old doggone lot of them. Eastern Stars, Freemasons. Fifth Column, attacking from the inside. We follow man and not God. We protect our religion and our church building, but not Jesus Christ. What's the problem? He's my preacher and I love him. He's my favorite one. Don't you talk about him. What? I thought Jesus Christ was. Why are you protecting your preacher when he's talking about using a different Bible that's wrong? Missing verses. Pray for him, whatever. Get on out of there. I mean, it's not the preacher, the pastor, the pope, the rabbi, the apostle, the disciple, or whatever it is today. The cardinal, the blue jay, whatever. I don't know what they call themselves today. It's not protecting them. It's protecting Jesus. Protecting his truth. That's what the bottom line is. His only true word, King James Bible. That's it. Not about religion. Four walls or a religion. Or a certain preacher, pastor, rabbi, whatever you like the most. It's not about them. Pray for them. Move on. Last night we talked about, starting in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18, seems to be a conglomeration of chapter verses that talks about the hope that will comfort believers of his return, of the rapture, raptere, hepizo in Hebrew, raptere in Latin. The basis of the believer's hope is the resurrection of Christ, that he did resurrect himself. He alone is the ascended one. No one else can ascend but Jesus Christ. Enoch was taken. Enoch did not ascend. Elijah was taken. Translated means the DNA was changed. Peter walked on the water, didn't he? Flesh can walk on water? No. So God, through his faith, the Holy Spirit, felt the faith of Peter at that time, the strength, the truth, trust, just for a moment, till fear caused Peter to start sinking in the water. Because when you have fear, what happens? When you have fear, you start losing faith. When you start losing faith, it has a physical property to it. Your DNA changes. So how do you become healed and you don't have faith? True faith. Those who died in Christ, positive assurance is that God will bring them with him. Understood in several ways, we talked about last night, that it could mean that at the time of the rapture, God will raise the bodies of believers and bring them back to heaven with the Lord Jesus. The bodies, it's asleep. Soul and spirit's already up there. But the bodies will be joined up with the soul and spirit in a glorified form. Just like when Thomas saw Jesus and saw the holes in his hand. There you go. You see? But his body came with him. Lazarus was different. Lazarus died once and then died again. Still mortal. Then Enoch was different. He never died. Enoch and Elijah was two that never died in the Bible. And that little girl, she died twice. Enoch and Elijah didn't even die. They were taken alive. That's a rapture. That's why I did it, to show us what it means. So it might mean the time of rapture, God will raise the bodies of believers. Or it may mean when Christ comes back to the earth to reign, God then will bring back with Christ those who've died in faith. In other words, the apostle's saying in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, don't worry that those who've died will miss out on the glory of the coming of the kingdom. God will bring them back with Jesus when the latter returns in power and great glory. It'll be Armageddon. That's the most general meaning of 1 Thessalonians 4:14. He'll bring with him. But then you might ask, how can that be? Because their bodies are laying in the grave. How can they come back with Jesus? Well, the answer is in 15 to 17. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend, coming down from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, which is different than the seven trumpets of judgment. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Before Christ comes to set up his kingdom, he will return to take his own people home with him to be in heaven. Then at a later date, he'll come back with them. What are they going to do up there in the meantime? The judgment seat of Christ. The five crowns being given out individually, each one. Then you have the right to come back. then you'll be made higher than the angels. Not now you're not, because you're flesh. Only when you, well, I hate to demean it, but graduation. Yeah, that's what it is, kind of. You've passed the physical world. You stayed to the end, means of your life, not the seventh trumpet. They tried to squeeze it out. You fought the good fight, like Paul talks about, unto the end, means the end of your life, not the end of the tribulations. He brings you home, and then that he knows when the last one has accepted Jesus Christ. There is a final number, and God knows it. He knows that number. We don't. We have a clue. He knows when the last one that will accept Jesus will. He knows the end from the beginning. And then you have the right to return and rule with him. But only after you've passed this test that we have on this earth. Had Paul know this? His answer was, "This we say to you by the word of the Lord." He receiveth this as direct revelation from the Lord. He did. We're not told how he received it necessarily, whether by vision or audible voice or by inward impression of the Holy Spirit. But it's definitely a truth unknown to men to that time. Then he goes on to explain, when you read further, that when Christ returns, 1 Thessalonians 4:15, the living saints will not have any presence or advantage over the sleeping saints. Equal. In that verse, Paul speaks of himself as one who will be alive at Christ's coming. Read 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52. However, in 2 Corinthians 4:14, and if you go to 5:1, he speaks about the possibility of his being among those who will be raised. Now, this obvious conclusion is that we should look for the Lord to come at any moment, yet realize that we may be called to reach heaven by the way of death. In other words, you just don't know for sure, and you're not supposed to. Satan knows it. He tells you all first it's born again by wisdom discernment. Satan doesn't have that, neither does his followers. So the only way he can find out is by spying. How's he do that? By getting a Christian to throw a spell upon himself. How's that? By drugs. By yoga. By different ways that the demonic presence can come inside you. Intermingle with your soul. When you're not covered in the full armor of God, somehow to find a click in your armor. To find out that message that's coming, that wisdom discernment. So he'll know when to act. Because he doesn't know. That's going on today. It's not Agenda 21 or FEMA camps or New World Order or all that stuff. Because that's going to go by the wayside. It'll happen. Sure it'll happen. It'll be short-lived. No pun intended. You know, the exact order of events at Christ's coming in 4:16, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, is given there in 4:16 about the Lord himself descending from heaven. And it won't be with a UFO neither. Like Sanan Emanuel, the false prophet, will come down with a UFO hologram. That's another story. It's that ET, extraterrestrial nonsense, is going to pop up on us. Many Christians will be fooled by this. They've been playing this since 1917, even before that. That's another story. The Lord himself will descend from heaven. As he left, he'll descend the same way. He'll not send an angel, but will come himself. He will be with a shout, a loud shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Now, there are several explanations given by theologians to the significance of these commanding sounds, but frankly, it's almost impossible to speak with finality about them, as I've indicated already. Just not going to do it. But it's interesting to discuss. There's a little story. I'll get here shortly. I may not get to it tonight. We'll see. But the Lord himself will come. He'll be the central figure of the rapture. All the power and all the glory of this event resides in him. He'll descend from heaven. He'll appear in the air, and that's where we'll meet him. He will not touch down, so to speak. He'll be as visible to the human eye as he was when he ascended. Acts 1, verse 11. His appearing, there'll be a shout, and the word of command will have the ring of authority about it, with a note of urgency that Jesus will give a word of command, just as it did outside the tomb of Lazarus. Those in the grave shall hear his voice. They'll not sleep, they'll be awakened. Only the voice of the Son of God can awaken the sleeping or change the living. And the voice of an archangel will be heard. The angelic host will share in this victory shout when Jesus comes. Can you imagine? The sound of a trumpet and not the trumpet of judgment. The trumpet of judgment is coming down, judgment upon the earth, not bringing people up. So, some feel, for example, that the shout is the voice of the Lord Jesus himself, which will raise the dead. You'll find that in John 5:25, John 11:43 and 44. And changes the living. Changes what? The DNA. Your body will change. Others, like theologians by the name of Hogg and Vine, say that the shout is the archangel's voice itself. Then the other is the voice of Michael, the archangel, is understood as a, well, kind of an assembling command for the Old Testament saints. He's associated with Israel. You'll find this in Daniel 12, verse 1. You look it up. In Jude 9. And Revelation 12, verses 4 to 7. There's other theologians that think that the purpose is to revive Israel nationally, bringing the bones back together. And others suggest the voice of the archangel summons the angels like a military escort to accompany the Lord, his saints, through enemy territory back to heaven. That's not going to happen because the enemy will be cast down in the fifth seal, sixth seal. The stars will fall, means the fallen angels will be cast out of the second heaven. So there's three heavens. The third heaven, God resides. Angels have to go from the third heaven through the second, where the demonic realm exists in the known universe, a different dimension, a supernatural dimension. And the first heaven is earth, the physical realm. And you know, the trumpet of God is the same as the last trumpet, 1 Corinthians 15:52. Which has to do with the resurrection of believers at the time of the rapture. Not the trumpet of judgment. separate. And it calls the saints to eternal blessing. And again, it's not to be confused with the seventh trumpet of Revelation 11, 15 to 18. And that seventh trumpet of the Revelation is judgment trumpet. And it signals the final outpouring of judgments on the world during the tribulation. The last trumpet here is the last one for the church. The seventh trumpet of Revelation is the last for the unbelieving world. Although it's never specifically called the last trumpet. That one. So the bodies of the dead, those in Christ, will rise first. They get a head start. Now, whether that includes the Old Testament saints is up for debate. Those who think it does points out that the archangel's voice is heard at this time. But then if you recall, Jesus died, went for 3 days in Abraham's bosom, which wasn't yet in heaven. Preached to them then, and then the Old Testament saints went to heaven. Because remember, their sacrifices of animals didn't get them to heaven. Not yet. You do not enter heaven until Jesus Christ says it's finished. He becomes their advocate. But they were obedient. They were helped in Abraham's bosom. And those in hell could see Abraham's bosom, but couldn't get there. Now, I talked about that last night, I believe. And also, they believe the archangel's voice is heard at this time, and that he's linked up with the destinies of Israel. And those who think that the Old Testament saints will not be raised at the rapture remind us of the phrase, in Christ, the dead in Christ is never applied to believers who live before the church's age. Now, these believers will probably be raised at the end of the tribulation. Daniel 12:2, some think. In any case, it's clear that this is definitely not a general resurrection. Not all the dead are raised at this time, but only the dead in Christ is raised. The ones not in Christ and are dead will be in hell. Those alive will be stuck here throughout the tribulation. Some do not die until after. Remember, some will seek death and not find it. They want to live forever. Well, guess what? They're going to be able to. But they're going to... It's kind of the proverbial, be careful what you wish for, you might get it. Well, that's what this means when that first trumpet sounds. So, this takes us to 4:17. And then the living shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now that word rapture, which is used to describe this first phase of the Lord's return, is kind of derived from the verb used in the Latin term I meant caught up, raptere. A rapture is snatching away or the catching up. It's also used in Philip in Acts 8, verse 39. And also in Paul, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2 and 4. And of the male child in Revelation 12, verse 5. So what about the air? That's Satan's fear. It's P-H-E-R-E. Ephesians 2, verse 2. That's kind of a triumphal gathering and open defiance to the devil right in his own stronghold on his doorstep. There's not a darn thing he can do about it. Kind of think about it for a minute. Think of all that is included in these verses. The earth and the sea yield up the dust of all the dead in Christ. Then the transforming miracle by which this dust is created and formed back into glorified bodies, cremated or not, head chopped off or not, dead for hundreds of years or not, don't matter. And they're free forever from sickness, pain, death, and bad knees. Thank God for that. Then the space flight to heaven. Not some silly UFO either. And all this taking place in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. And you know, a little side note to that, what's interesting, is I know from studying the occult to find out what these suckers are up to, and studying the New Age movement to find out what those suckers are up to, I found that they have an explanation that those that are removed from this earth were said to be placed on an unprepared or primitive planet because they were not yet ready to evolve into the next, what they call it, mess, stage of mankind's evolution in the fifth dimension. Man did become a god. They weren't worthy enough, so they were removed, put on a primitive planet to start all over again. That's their explanation. That's what they call removal of the wicked first. Yeah. They're calling removal of the wicked those of you that are born again. People's got this thing all kinds of mixed up. There's no removal of the wicked before, because the wicked's going to be here going through the seven trumpets. When the falling away takes place, the man of sin is revealed, and the falling away takes place, that's the extraterrestrial announcement. See, a lot of people, a lot of theologians aren't talking about that. Let me tell you what they're going to do. What these so-called theologians, they're so-called men of God, that are promoting the Book of Enoch. Family, that's absolutely not the Book of Enoch, Because there is no Book of Enoch. There's a prophecy of Enoch. They keep getting that mixed up. Every time they say the Book of Enoch is in Jude, you go on back and say, hey, don't say Book of Enoch. It says a prophecy of Enoch. A prophecy ain't no book. They're assuming a book. That book would have been kept by Noah for thousands of years, and even three generations before Noah was Enoch. That meant that book had to be written three generations before Noah, passed on to Noah like an heirloom. Noah had to wrap it up in plastic, stick it on the old ark, and then make copies of it all through the his life, then his sons would make copies of the Book of Enoch. You know that'd be mentioned, the Book of Enoch. They talk about the Book of Jasher, but the Book of Jasher is nothing more than reflecting what the Scriptures say. So the Book of Jasher is not God-inspired. It's just copying information that was inspired by God, and Jasher did it. That's all it is. So the Book of Jasher is not authority in those referred to in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It just simply reflects truth coming from the Scriptures. They try to make something out of it. Family, the Book of Enoch was written in the first century, 100 years after Jesus. It's a Gnostic book of junk. Now, part of it's true, granted, about the fallen angels, yes. But it's contradictory to Scripture. That cancels it right on out. That makes it dangerous. What does that mean, dangerous? Well, all right, you got a nice cup of coffee. And I say, hold on a minute. Nice, I'm sorry, a pot of coffee. Now say, hold on a minute. I'm going to really spice that sucker up for you. I got a little eyedropper of arsenic. That'll really give it a taste too, man. A kick you won't even believe. It's to die for. Yeah. So I do a little drip, drip of arsenic, and there you go. Now, go ahead and drink the pot of coffee. It's got a kick to it. Now, if you're a fool, you're going to drink that coffee. But if you're smart, you're not going to touch it, and you're going to say, I want another pot. Well, it's the same thing. You take the book of Enoch, and that little drop of arsenic is a contradictory information, contradictory words against the King James Bible. That means that whole book of Enoch is cursed. It's got truth in it, caffeine. It's also got arsenic. Same thing for the NIV, New American Standard Bible. The New King James Bible, one of the worst ones there is. The Message, that nonsense Bible that Doug Dynasty did whatever. You can't be a Christian and blaspheme the Word of God. You can't work both ways. It don't happen. Yet they try. You can't create your own Bible. Revelation 22:18-19. Don't add to or take away from the words of this book. How clear can that be? Men of the world have difficulty believing the account of the creation of man in Genesis 1 and 2. They believe there's two creations. Creation of the Gentiles, and then Genesis 2, creation of Adam and Eve. That ain't true. Genesis 1 is the creation of mankind, and all the other days, of course, the other parts of creation. And then Genesis 2 is more specifically how God breathed in the breath of life into the man. It's more detailed information of creation. That's all it is. But they have a difficulty with creation and what they'll do with the rapture, for goodness sakes. When God will resurrect, recreate millions of people from the dust that's been buried, scattered, strewn about, swept up the beaches of the world. So men of the world are enthusiastic about space travel. So trying to intermingle the UFO nonsense in this thing. But you know, you ask yourself, begs the question, can their greatest exploits compare with the wonder of the traveling to heaven in a split second without taking your own atmosphere with you? That's got to be scary. That's a roller coaster ride you won't forget. And this is spacemen have to do with when they go up on the short hops to outer space. That's nothing compared to what's coming. There's no spacemen out there. It's all supernatural in the universe. Nothing flesh can go outside the Van Allen belt, in other words. Oh, that's got interesting connections when you think about that. Gone to the moon? No way. In connection with Christ's coming, there's a sound to hear, a sight to see, and a miracle to feel. A meeting to enjoy and a comfort to experience. So, it's kind of good to notice the recurrence of the word Lord in these verses. The word of the Lord, verse 15, the coming of the Lord himself, to meet the Lord, to always be with the Lord, just keeps coming at you. Forever with the Lord, who can tell all the joy and blessedness that is included in these words? So it tells us in 18, comfort one another with these words. Thoughts of the Lord's coming do not produce terror for the believer, but it sure strikes terror for the unbelievers. It's a hope for the believer that thrills and cheers and comforts. And they're trying to take that joy away by causing fear. People don't want to hear this. They don't have to. But they're going to want to, because it's coming whether they run from it or not. Nothing they can do to stop it. So, what are the indications of the last times? the formation of the State of Israel, 1948, although not the Israel of the Bible that Jesus will take control of, it is the formation of Israel for a place for them to go in preparation for that final day, that final time. Luke 21, verse 29. A lot of cases, the fig tree is referred to as Israel. Other cases, the fig tree is referred to as the signs of the times. Depends on the context of the scripture. Putting forth its leaves in Luke 21, 29 to 31. Luke 21, verses 29 and 31. For the first time in centuries, the Jews have a national existence in their own homeland. This means that the kingdom of God is near. Near, but not yet the true Israel. But they have a place to go in preparation for that, by the way. Since 1948. The rise of many nations, Luke 21, 29. Because Jesus predicted that not only the fig tree would shoot forth, but all the trees as well. We'd like to say that we have witnessed the demise of colonial governments and proliferation of new nations, but we are today a surprise to many, still a colony of England. It's an era of new nationalism, but family, we ain't it. Neither is Canada, Israel, or Australia, or Barbados. We're all colonies of England right now, today. They lied to us in the history books. So we're definitely not the Great Babylon. That's the point. We're still a colony of England right now. We never won that war. Return of Israel to the land in unbelief. Ezekiel 36, 24, 25. Ezekiel prophesied that it would only be after the return that they would be cleansed from their sins. That'd be the mid-tribulation. The ones in, hidden in the closet of Jews that are following Jesus, not Judaism or Talmud or some pagan other religion. Same in America, no different. Only a small segment of the people were Orthodox Jews. The ecumenical movement that is rampant today of bringing all the religions together is now in full swing. You find it in Revelation 17 and verse and also 18. And you know, you understand that Babylon the Great is a vast religious and political commercial system made up of apostate religious bodies. Some that even profess to be Christian. You'll have a merger of Roman Catholicism, apostate Protestantism, Protestantism, yeah. Protestantism was created by the Vatican anyway, as was Islam, and Zionism was all created by the Vatican, as was fascism, communism. Shoot, I bet they even created rheumatism. You know, Christendom is becoming increasingly apostate, isn't it? Krishlam, there you go. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and verses 2. There's so much to this Bible, it's just, you know, it's just absolutely amazing how much comes out of this Bible, man. And I'm not a theologian. But it's not that hard, you know, it really isn't. It's just, you got to stick with it. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit, 1 and 2, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We so much like this lukewarm preaching. Just sit there and nod our heads, sometimes going to sleep, sometimes just agreeing. And then sometimes it's back to nodding heads and dropping your neck. And somebody elbows you. Wake up. I wasn't sleeping. I just nodded my head. Yeah, okay. I just agreeing. Couldn't you tell? But your eyes were closed. No, I was reading the Bible. That's a lie. Ecumenical movement. They're pushing that now, aren't they? 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, 2 verse 3, is also moving toward a world super church. You ever heard of mega churches? All they got to do is combine them all. It's done deal. The worldwide increase in spiritism, 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 3, sweeping over the vast areas of the earth at the moment. There's a drastic decline of moral standards. That is, highlight that one, man. Daily newspapers has plenty of evidence of this. I don't even have to go over that. Violence and civil disobedience and rampant. Spirit of lawlessness is abounding in the home, national life, and even in the church more than ever. People with a form of godliness, but denying his power. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. And the rise of the anti-Christian spirit. 1 John 2, verse 18. And you know that's manifested in the multiplication of false cults. Professed to be Christian. 40,000 different sects of Christianity. The United States alone has got 1,500 and some odd. But deny every fundamental doctrine of the faith. They deceive by imitation. And I didn't say invitation. I said imitation. 2 Timothy 3, verse 8. And the tendency for nations to kind of be, what do you call it, confederates? Confederacy along the lines that line up in the latter day is the European common market, European Union, the rise of the Holy Roman Empire again, revival of it. Based on what's known as the Treaty of Rome. Look it up. This is what's going to lead, what they're trying to hide, to the revival of the Roman Empire. The 10 toes of iron and clay. As Daniel gave the interpretation of the dream we've covered before to Nebuchadnezzar. Revival of the whole Roman Empire. Not Islam, not Jews. As people would like you to believe, Christian identity. But revival of the Roman Empire. The 10 toes of iron and clay. After everybody else has fought to exhaustion, that's the second seal of World War III. Revival of the Roman Empire will come up as default leader. Denial of the impending intervention of God in the affairs of the world by way of judgment. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 to 4. A judgment that's led by trumpets. Not to be confused with the trumpet of God. And to these could be added indications like earthquakes in many countries and threat of worldwide famine. Hostility among the nations. Matthew 24, 6 and verse 7. A failure of governments to maintain law and order, helter-skelter. To suppress terrorism creates the climate for a world dictator. And you'll crave, people will crave to have, they'll cry to have order out of the chaos. But what they're not telling them is in the latter days, days of judgment, a group that you won't find in the Bible, but they're called the Metropolitans. Metropolitans. These are the giants that come out of the ground. The holes in the ground you see today. Family, what there is going to be, that's their exit places, by the way. People don't realize that. Every country's got those big old holes appearing. Metropolitans. Giants, as in the days of Noah. will come out of their caverns. God will remove the protective hedge. This will not be a good place to be. The building of nuclear arsenals, remember though, in the sixth seal, nothing human will be standing. Nothing human made will be standing. Technology will be gone. You do not want to be here. Who's able to make war with him? The beast, Revelation 3:13, verse 4. Worldwide television facilities will be the means by fulfilling up to a point. Then they'll be destroyed. The day of the Lord comes when it talks about it in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1. Well, you know, there's a generation of Christians who will never die. They'll not pass through the portals of death, but they'll be quickened by the Holy Spirit and changed suddenly and eternally. For those who've died in the faith, death becomes a pathway to a richer, fuller life. You know, there's an old story, and I'll end it here. And we'll continue on tomorrow night. An aged minister was lost in an unpaved, unmarked road in West Texas long ago. He went to a farmhouse to inquire as to how he could reach his destination. Now, there's a little freckle-faced boy there that gave his following directions. It's typical down south, y'all. He said, you go right on down the big road for several miles. It's plenty sandy and rough. Sometimes you'll bog down and get stuck. But now you keep going until you come to a graveyard. Now, go right through that there graveyard. Don't be scared. Ain't nothing going to hurt you. But you go right through that graveyard now. And just on the other side, you'll come to a paved highway. And you turn to the right. And the place you're looking for is just around the corner. And when you get to the paved road, beyond the graveyard, your troubles will be over. Well, the old minister thought that as he rode along, you know, I'm traveling down the rough road of life. Sometimes it seems I almost bog down. And after I travel life's road for a few more miles, I'll come to the graveyard. Then my troubles will be over. For God's highway and the heavenly home are just the other side of the cemetery. Walter Brown Knight. Unquote. Y'all heard that one about the young girl who knew she was going to die? She went to the funeral director. It's called the fork. And she went to the funeral director, and she knew she was going to die of cancer. But she went ahead and set up her. She was okay with it. She knew it was coming. She set up her own arrangements. She said, but now listen. I do want you to do one thing for me. I want you to put a fork in my hand. And you know, there's people going to ask you, what's that fork there for? She had a piece of paper. Said, here, preacher. You'll tell them this right here. He said, now what's that mean? She said, well, you know, when I was a little girl, she said that I'd go to my grandma's house. And they'd bring all this food out, some food I didn't even like, and some of it I would eat anyway, and some I was forced to eat. But I ate it anyway. But then there'd come time to take up the plates. I was glad of that sometimes. But when I put a fork on the plate, your grandma would tell me, honey, keep your fork. And she knew when she said, keep that fork, that dessert was coming. So something better was coming. after the place was taken up. So when the people ask you about that, you tell them the story. That after you die, that fork means there's something better coming. Remember that. Keep that fork in your hand. Because family, there's something better coming. Pass that dessert around. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight. We come together in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, we feel the Holy Spirit come down upon us tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you're in the presence of us. And Father, you lead us. Father, guide us the rest of this week as we study your word. Opportunities to express the word. And Father, for our own studies to give us that insight, discernment, and the comfort we need to be confident and courageous when the times come. We got to stand up and be counted. We thank you tonight. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for an awakening. We pray for watchmen to come out. And the church is to receive the Holy Spirit before that time comes. But Father, we know you have it in hand. We thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you for this rest of the week. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Family leads the way. And in Christ alone is your hope is found. And there's no other way. They're going to try to make other ways. They ain't going to make it. Even the ones his enemy guide them right. They're not going to like it. Who knows who might stick. We don't know. Only God knows. So family, have a good night tonight. And we'll see y'all tomorrow, 4 to 6. And by the way, remind you that we're played up in highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net, John Kirkler. Highpointradio.net plays our broadcast and Bible studies. He's got sponsors there on his website. You can find them and use them. New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. Website is watchmanforjesus.com, watchmanforjesus.com, and my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. Y'all have a good night. God bless. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Hit the ground running. We'll learn about what Satan's up to. And we'll talk about some solutions tomorrow, too. That's really one of the most important parts. Being an informed, educated Christian. Drawing near to Christ. Keeping life in proper perspective. Solutions are actually easy. You just get through them. It's difficult. Good night. God bless. It's your watchman, Thomas Campbell, and I'm signing off. When fears are still, when striving seems